Have you ever felt uncomfortable talking about your faith with other people? Maybe you tell yourself that your religious beliefs are too heavy for people. They don't want to hear that. Or maybe you think you're too much of a sinner to talk about your faith because people might say, well, I know that you're not living that way. Or perhaps you're afraid they'll reject you. Maybe you think if you say anything about Jesus, you're going to start an argument, and that may create tension in the home, the workplace, in your neighborhood. Witnessing is difficult, but yet the Lord commissions us, all of us, to go into the world and proclaim the gospel, making disciples. What is the secret to being an effective witness for Jesus Christ? We want to explore today. Truth of the matter is, it is no secret to be successful in witnessing. The key to effective witness is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, in our society, people look to everything else but the Holy Spirit to do ministry. We're very pragmatic people. What works? What kind of programs can we do? What kind of training do we need? What are the materials we can use? And if it works for the church down the street, maybe it'll work here. So let's try that. In John 16, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. Not only does he talk about it in this chapter, he's talked about it several times now in John's gospel. In today's passage, we find Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's Holy Thursday evening. He's in the upper room with his disciples. They're observing the Passover, a Jewish feast that recollects the time when God delivered Israel from Egypt, when he sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn in Egypt, and that he would spare the Israelites death of their firstborn if they put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost, and the angel of death would pass over it, and the people would be saved from death by the blood of the lamb. So they're in the upper room, and Jesus is using this opportunity to teach. He taught them about servanthood. Remember when he washed their feet? He taught them about his imminent departure, that he was going to leave them and go to the Father. He assured them that they were not going to be abandoned by God. That although he was leaving, God was not leaving them. He was going to send God, the Holy Spirit, to them to be with them forever. Jesus taught his disciples about the hatred and hostility of the world that they would, and every true disciple of Christ, would encounter. John 16:4, Jesus says, I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. Up to this point, Jesus was there with his disciples to protect them. The opposition that came against Christ and his disciples was dealt with by Jesus himself. But he was going away now. So who was going to be there for them now that their master was gone? That's where the promise of the Holy Spirit comes in. Several times in this upper room discourse, Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper, or the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate to His disciples. John 14:16, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." John 15:26-27, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning." Back in John 14:26-27, "But this Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. We might be very active in church. We may have a lot of programs. We may have a lot of materials. We may have a lot of activities to do outreach. But if the Holy Spirit is not in the midst of us, empowering us to do God's work, our labor will be in vain. We won't bear any spiritual fruit. You see, the Holy Spirit is the one who connects us to the vine, to God. And it is through this connection that God empowers Christians to bear fruit. Now, if there's no connection, there's no power. If there's no connection, there's no nourishment. There's no truth. The Holy Spirit is critical in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so often, the Holy Spirit is ignored. This is what we're going to do. We're going to mobilize. We're going to grow our church. We're going to build our school building. We're going to do all of this. Where's the Holy Spirit? The Bible tells us in Acts 1 that the presence of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential if we are to be effective witnesses for Christ. Following Jesus' death and resurrection, He and His disciples were together for 40 days. And before He ascended to heaven to His Father, He told them to remain in Jerusalem for 10 days. Why didn't they just form a committee, adopt a policy and a process, and start evangelizing the lost souls right then? Why did they have to wait 10 days? Well, they waited 10 days for Pentecost. And Pentecost is when the promised Holy Spirit came and empowered them. Listen to what is said in Acts 1, verse 8 and 9. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." What this sermon's all about, the main message, the main idea, the work of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God by bearing witness about Christ, as well as empowering the church, the disciples, to bear witness about Christ. The Spirit bears witness, but so are we to bear witness. So how's your witness? Have you introduced anybody to Christ lately? Have you testified to the goodness of God? Have you shared your story? How you were once a sinner and your heart was sick and broken? Great children's sermon, Pastor. Boy, I'm thinking he's reading my notes. We need the great physician to heal our sick souls. And how that happens is through the Holy Spirit. Taking what Jesus has done and applying it to our hearts. The Holy Spirit empowers us to share our story of how Christ has healed us. How Christ has made us right with God. The Holy Spirit is the one who opens our eyes. Remember singing about that? The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the significance of Holy Week. It's not spring break. It is a week in which we see the redemption plan of God come alive. And we remember what took place during those days. We remember how God sent His Son to save us from our sins. We understand the gospel better as we realize, gee, we're sinners who need a Savior. And Jesus is a Savior. Well, how does He save us? What does He save us from? How does that work? And this is the gospel. We are sinners who will face the judgment of God at the end of time and will have to pay off our debts to God. We're sinners. There's no way we can work our way out of a bad relationship with God. We need a Savior. Because God is a holy God and He's offended by our sins. And there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God sends His Son who lives a sinless life. So that He can make the perfect sacrifice for human beings, for sinners. And Jesus then goes to the cross. And He goes to hell on the cross so that we would be saved from hell. He is condemned. He is cursed so that all who believe in Him will not be condemned, will not be cursed. He takes our sin on the cross. My God, why have You forsaken Me? And He dies there. He sheds His blood. He gives His life. He's a substitute for us. A substitute. He takes our place. Instead of us going to hell, He did on the cross. And in turn, He gives us, He imputes to us His righteousness. We are not righteous in and of ourselves, but He imputes or credits His righteousness to us, which means that God sees us as forgiven and in a right relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the cross is all about. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what redemption is all about. The Holy Spirit gives us eyes to see and to understand that. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. We see that in the passage here. How does the Holy Spirit bear witness of Christ concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment? That's how the Holy Spirit works. And He works so that we might believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If the Holy Spirit has not come, there would be a disconnect. There would be no salvation because there would be no sacrifice for sin. There would be no substitute to take our place. And we would remain in our sin and stand before Almighty God on Judgment Day, and He would proclaim us guilty and sentence us to eternity in damnation. in hell. But God did send His Son. And His Son did ask His Father to send the Holy Spirit so that there is a connection. Do you have that connection with God? Does the Holy Spirit reside within you? Does the Bible make sense? Do you see yourself as a sinner who needs to be saved? Do you understand that it was through Christ alone that you could be made right with God? That you're saved not because of anything you did, but that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scriptures alone, all to the glory of God alone. That makes sense because of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, taking all that He has heard from the Father and from the Son and giving it to us so that we understand the truth. If the Holy Spirit isn't there, we have no idea what I'm talking about. What's He going on about? He might need a Savior, but I don't. He might talk about judgment and hell, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that God will send anybody to hell. God is love. So what's this guy ranting about? There's no comprehension of the truth without the Holy Spirit. That's why He's called the Spirit of Truth. That is what the work of the Holy Spirit is. And that is how He bears witness. You know, witness, that word is used 27 times in the Gospel of John. It's used much more in the New Testament. It's a theme that weaves its way through the entire gospel. We see in the first chapter how John the Baptist is a witness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. Why? That all might believe through him. John 1:15, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was of he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And John bore witness at Jesus' baptism. "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him." Jesus bore witness in John 8:18. "I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witnesses about me." John 10:25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock." So he starts out. John's gospel starts out with the witness of John the Baptist, weaves its way through 21 chapters, and concludes in John 21:24, "This is the disciple," meaning John, the gospel writer, "this is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. And we know that his testimony is true." You see the bookends? He starts with a witness and he ends with a witness. And he talks about the witnessing that goes on with the disciples in bringing brothers to Christ, in how the works of Christ bore witness of God's great power and mercy. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a witness. And this is what Jesus is teaching us here in John 16. It's critical that the Holy Spirit comes. Verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I did not go away, the Helper would not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's his witness. What's interesting, as we go a little further in verse 12, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You know what Jesus is saying here? This is how the New Testament is going to be formed. I can't give you it all right now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to declare to you. He's going to reveal to you. In the books of the New Testament, in the epistles, in the Gospels, the things to come. And you're going to write about them. I'm going to tell you the whole plan. You don't need anything other than the Bible to know God's will for your life. You don't need anything else to understand redemptive history, how it all began and how it's all going to end. And everything that's going to happen in between. Why will you know this? Because the Holy Spirit's going to declare it to you. All Scripture is what? Right. And it's good for what? Good. Sounds like the Holy Spirit has been speaking to some people. Remember in Peter about the prophets? Where did they get their message from? The Holy Spirit. Carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth is revealing truth to us through the Word of God. Okay, so we got that the witness, the work of the Holy Spirit is a witness. So how do we apply this to ourselves? Remember that main point of the work of the Holy Spirit? He will be a witness about Jesus. But Jesus said, and so will you. So will all of us. Jesus saved us. He created us to glorify God. He redeemed us to glorify God. He saved us so that we may glorify God by being witnesses for Jesus Christ. That we would go with the truth as revealed in the Scriptures and teach this truth to our kids, to our families, to our neighbors. This is the truth. This is the truth that people need to hear. They need to hear. And this is where we get into trouble. This is the reason why there's hostility toward Christians. Because the Holy Spirit will work in and through us to convict the world of sin. He will work within us and through us to reveal true righteousness. He will work in us and through us to declare judgment. And people don't want to hear that. You ever tell somebody they're a sinner? Guess what reaction you'll get? They're not going to invite you to dinner. They're not going to say, oh, I've been waiting to hear that truth about myself, and you finally brought it. This is so good. I got to say that. We witness about the righteousness of Christ. We think we're pretty good. How good are we? If we compare ourselves to Jesus, how do we stack up? Are we 30% good? 60%? 90%? To get into heaven, you need to be 100%. Well, who can be 100%? There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But His righteousness, as I've already explained with the gospel, is imputed to us, and we become righteous through faith in Him. And faith only through Him. Only through His work. Because there is no other Savior. All the other religions of the world, all the other philosophies are dead wrong. They might sound impressive, but they will never get you right with God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Who's no one? All of us. There's only one way to God. In our pluralistic society, everybody has their own way. Everybody views every God as equal. Every God will get you to eternity. Wrong. There's only one way. There's only one road. And that is through Jesus Christ. That's what our witness is. We tell people about sin. We tell people about righteousness and how to get right with God. And we also talk about judgment. We'll be called bigots and people filled with hate speech when we bring up the subject of sin, when we bring up the subject of judgment. And that's why there's persecution against the church. And that's what's coming down the pike, brothers and sisters. And that's why we need a helper to be able to strengthen us to teach the truth to generations to come. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. When you look at the book of Acts, you see that on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came. And there was great confusion in Jerusalem, great chaos. What's going on here? These people are talking in strange tongues. They're talking in foreign languages. Where'd they learn that from? And what are these flames on their head? And then there was those who just dismissed it. Well, these guys are drunk. They got started tailgating on the Passover or on Pentecost feast early. And that's why there's all this gibberish going on. Who stands up? Peter, the one who had denied Christ three times on the night in which he was betrayed, all of a sudden he has this power to preach and to give the truth and explain what's going on. He quotes from the prophet Joel of the Old Testament. He says, God foretold that the Holy Spirit was coming. And you'll be my witnesses. This is what's taking place. God wants to save the world. He is sending His Spirit, who is equipping people with the languages of various countries and people groups so that they could hear the mighty deeds of God, primarily the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter just goes on. He keeps on preaching the truth. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of him. You know, if he would have preached that sermon 2 days earlier, nothing would have happened. Why? Holy Spirit hadn't come. But now the Holy Spirit did. And the people are hearing him. And he convicts them about the sin. You crucified the Lord, the righteous one. And they were convicted. Brothers, what shall we do? We're guilty of killing God's Son. And he had the truth. And he says, repent and be baptized. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people came to faith in Christ that day? 3,000. 3,000 sinners got saved in one sermon. That's Peter walking around saying, yeah, Jesus was right picking me to be the spokesman because I delivered. No way. He's probably up in the woods on his knees thanking God for what just had happened and wanting to have no fingerprints, none of his fingerprints on that sermon and on what he said and on the results. He was deeply humbled because the Holy Spirit did that work. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He bears witness about the deeds of Christ. He also empowers us to proclaim the truth about sin, about righteousness in Christ, about judgment. The ruler of this world is defeated. Christ knocked him out on the cross, crushed his head. Jesus hit the home run. We just have to run the bases. Salvation is from God and God alone. But we all have been called and commissioned to be witnesses. How is your witnessing going? The mark of a true Christian is that they're a witness for Christ. Why do I say that? Because the Holy Spirit dwells within them, who regenerated them, who gave them the gift of saving faith, and whose job it is to glorify God the Father and God the Son through our testimonies. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming. Now, if we're not doing that, we got to ask ourselves, why have I never been born again? Am I out of fellowship with God? Am I disconnected because of my sin? That's what we have to wrestle with. God wants this church, His church, to share the gospel regardless of where we're at. It's not just here at church. It's not just in Upper Euclid. It's all over. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we go on mission trips. God wants sinners saved, and He wants to do that work through us. The question is, do you want to do that? If the Holy Spirit is not working in you, you might be very busy in church work, but you're not going to be doing any of the work of the church. I got to just go straight at it. I mean, you look at what's happening in our world. You look at the nonsense that you see on the TV every night or on the internet. And you see that there's a generation that is lost already. The nuns. They don't go to church. How do you rescue them? How do you get to them? How do we get to our kids? They're all sitting down here and praying, Lord, may your Holy Spirit anoint Pastor Ben to preach to them, and may your Holy Spirit give them ears to receive what he's saying so that they would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and they would be spared all of the sin, all of the nonsense, all of the confusion, all of the meaninglessness of life that the world has to offer, and that they would come to faith in Christ and find life in Him. The children's sermon was a perfect illustration of what it means to witness. How is your witness? If you're struggling with, I don't know if the Holy Spirit lives within me, I don't know why I don't want to share the gospel. All these homes all around us. And, you know, a pastor can go off all he wants on we got to reach these people. But isn't that what we paid him to do? Why do I have to do this? If you're struggling with all of this, go to the Lord and ask him to forgive you. But ask him for the Holy Spirit to come and fill you so that you are empowered to go and share the gospel with people. Comes down to that. I can't lend you some of the Holy Spirit. I can't give you a magic formula. It comes down to, God, I need help. I understand what the preacher was saying today. And I have never, ever witnessed. I've never invited anybody to church. I've never prayed with my kids. I get into discussions about politics all the time, but I never interject Jesus. What do I do? Ask the Lord for his Spirit. And he will give you his Spirit who will empower you to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for your word and for your Spirit illuminating our minds to understand it. Help us with the application, Lord. You have given us the Helper. There are people all over this world, young and old alike, crying out for help. There are kids in our schools looking for purpose and meaning. They're looking for help. And what has the world to offer them? Safe spaces. Formulas. Support groups. The truth is that the help they need is from you.